Good morning. While I'm getting ready for to read the scripture, would you please just look at your neighbor and say the big theological word or faith statement, one word. Just turn around to your neighbor and would you say this? Air conditioning. But God is good all the time, all the time. God is good. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We are the people that say, good morning, Lord, instead of saying, good Lord, it's morning, right? And a lot of people are looking at me like, I'm pumped, I'm excited. Let's have worship service at 6 a.m. Well, we'll work on that, all right? Would you turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30 to 32, or you may also look it up on the screen. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30 to 32. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed from the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The power of forgiveness. Well, remind me once again, we just pray the corporate prayer. The prayer that the Lord Jesus had taught the disciples and us, as the disciples asked Jesus and say, teach us how to pray. And we recited that this morning, just now, and it said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then we pray what? Give us this day, what do we pray for? Our daily bread. And following that, right after daily bread, and we say, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Does that debt means like our debts in terms of money? Our loans? What could that be? Debts? Wouldn't that be nice though that God would take care, wipe it all off all our debts? But the debts of what? Debts of the wrongs that we have done, correct? Our sins. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So this morning I want to encourage, I want to study together with you the power of forgiveness. Forgiveness. Forgiveness not in a way that you are in such a hurry in a grocery store and there's only one person in front of you, and the person, whether either a lady or a man, is counting his or her pennies and coupons, and you're like, it's such a hurry, you really got to go home, but this person's counting pennies from the pockets, and or maybe you're in a hurry on the road. And you really get to one point A to point B, and the car in front of it is a dump truck or truck going slowly, making a left turn, but there's only one way. Or it may be that you just order your favorite meal. I don't know what's that for you. Mine is like Brussels sprout with bacon's wrap around it. And somehow the bacon didn't cook right. And then you just have to like, well, I'm going to forgive that person. And I don't ever want to see that person again. A form of letting them go and never to have to think about it. So we're somewhat distant, somewhat detached. But we're not going to talk about that kind of forgiveness this morning, though that's important. But the next kind of forgiveness, as Michelle Nelson in her book talked about, this is a great expert in psychology, and she said that the next type of forgiveness is that we choose to forgive a person. We removed all our negative feelings, bad feelings toward the person. Well, maybe we kept some. and the relationship somehow partially restored, but things are never the same. Never the same, and as we will never go back to things or relationship as it once was. Limited. We're not going to talk about that kind of forgiveness this morning, though it has a place for it. But the kind of forgiveness, the power of forgiveness that the scripture, biblical values in Christ taught us is forgiveness in full, complete, total forgiveness. Wow. Full forgiveness. Could that be possible? Could we really forgive everything, all of it that a person, the offender, has ever done, and then go back, relationship will be restored fully? Or even if relation can't be restored, because the person may be gone, long gone, or moved away, but could we really offer full forgiveness? It is possible. It is possible. Remember the story of Joseph in Genesis chapter, starting from chapter 37 to chapter 50. What happened to Joseph? A young boy, Joseph, who was 17 years old. He was young, handsome, and good-looking, right? I pray to God that I would be good-looking and handsome, and God said, no, couldn't do that. But Joseph was. And he had a dream, and he had a vision. And he was the favorite child. And it didn't help that he was showing off. And you know, oh, his brothers hated him. His own family hated him. Why? Because he was such a tattletaler, a bragger. And he was full of pride. And so, what did his brother decide to do? They put him in a pit, right? Thinking that, well, the wild animals and someone might got to him and that he would be killed. Well, that didn't work out, so they decided to make profit out of him. So they sold him to a slave trader. So Joseph ended up in a foreign land called Egypt from the place he lived, Cana. And in Egypt, what happened to Joseph? Well, things didn't get any better. He faced temptation. He didn't give in to temptation. And he was put in a jail for 2 years for the crime he didn't commit. And in jail, he helped as best as he could. He helped others, and he used his gifts. And the very people he helped forgotten about him. Well, we're not told right away about the ending of Joseph until we read about chapter 50, or 49 to 50. Can you think of a moment in your lives, in your walk with God, and saying, Lord, how can I possibly forgive and forget? Now, forgetting in a way that, well, pretending that things didn't happen, things didn't occur, that people didn't do wrong to you, and the person didn't mess up your meal. You can't forget that. You might not go back to that place. But forgetting in a way that things are there, people are there, situations are there, circumstances are there, and yet you choose to remember no more. That kind of forgiveness. Forgiveness with grace. Forgiveness with grace. An act of will. Well, Joseph did it. Joseph spent 20 years or so in Egypt, foreign lands. And one day it all happened. His brothers, his own brothers, those who sold him to slavery, those who put in this situation that he didn't have a chance to see his own parents, his own family for over 20 years. Now his brothers who done wrong to him are back in Egypt asking for daily bread. And they appear to Joseph. Here it is. total forgiveness. Complete forgiveness. Full forgiveness is possible. In Genesis chapter 45, verse 9 to 11, when his brothers who betrayed him, who did wrong to him, when Joseph faced them, he was willing to forgive. Not only that, in Genesis chapter 45, verse 9 to 11, this is what Joseph did. He said to his brothers, "Now hurry back to my father and say to him, 'This is what your son Joseph says. God has made me the Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me. You, your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds and all you have, I will provide for you there, because 5 years of famines are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute.'" You know what happens here? Joseph didn't forgive his brother emotionally. Am I right? He didn't say, "Oh, let's all make peace. Let's move on. Let's forget that it happened." In fact, Joseph didn't say that when he reunited with his brother. He said, "You know what, brothers? You intended evil against me. But God intended it for good, so that many lives will be saved." Joseph had his problems, his concerns, his troubles, his rejections, his betrayal, his hurts, everything on one end. And yet he chose to remember God and God's bigger purposes in all of life. Wow. No wonder why the Apostle Paul is asking us Christians and the churches, the Christians in Ephesus and us, to say, "Look, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God." That's interesting. That we can grieve the Holy Spirit of God. That we can hurt God. We can upset God by holding on to bitterness, resentment, rage and anger and brawling and slander and practicing malice. We can break the hearts of God. And Paul is asking us, don't do that, but rather be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, forgiving a lifetime of commitment, just as in Christ, God forgave you. And in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, it said, "Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." So in order to forgive the offender completely, fully, as Christians, as believers, we must go back to the basics again, right? How did God, how did Christ forgive us? In Psalms 103, verses 11 to 12, "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is God's mercy, his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west," wow, so far, "God removed our transgressions from us." God choose to remember no more. God keeps no record of what? Wrongs. That's love. It isn't that God didn't know what we have done wrong against him and against one another. That's not a joy. That's not a celebration. But hallelujah, what a great blessings. What a joy it is that God knew everything about us and what everything that we have done wrong. And God chooses to remember no more. Thanks be to God. Can we say amen to that? Amen. Amen. It is possible to forgive completely with God's help. As Christ, as in Christ, God forgave you and I. When I first accepted my very first ministry, church, local church ministry,
and starting out of fresh college, and you were tight budget here, and so you're very limited to what you could do in terms of where you would live and what kind of apartment you would have and so on and so forth. So right after the first few months of getting the job, I decided to get my own place, my own apartment. I got tired of living under someone else's basement. It was nice, it was kind, it was gracious, but I thought, I'm going to get my own place. So I looked out for, I went apartment hunting. I pick up those books from the grocery store that people put up, right? And I looked it up, and I saw this place called a three-bedroom apartment. I was like, I was single that time, and I go, wow, three bedrooms. I mean, I don't ever have to clean up my rooms, you know? Three bedrooms or single, that's like hallelujah, prayer answer. So I look at the price. It was $500, three bedrooms. And it said heat, gas, electric, heat, gas, and trash, everything included except for electric. And I go, that is prayer answer. So I sign up right away. I call the place. I looked at it. I checked the bedroom. I go, three bedrooms. That's all I needed. So I checked it, and I sign on. But then I didn't notice right away that literally this is in a place in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, in the middle of a heartland or Bible Belt, you call it, with where the Amish lived. Literally, you step about 20 steps, and that's right up in the farm field of Amish lands. But what I didn't really look at about my apartment was that if you open the front door and make a big giant step, literally it's one step, and that is called Route 23. If you live in New Holland, Pennsylvania, Route 23, that's a truck route. That's the main route that goes to the Turnpike 76. That's the only highway that you can get on to get to the Turnpike. And it turned out that the apartment that I rent is no soundproof. That's why it's $500 a month. Everything is included, three bedrooms, all right? So I didn't check that. It didn't matter to me. I didn't live there before. I didn't know the history. So the first night was kind of exciting. You know, you couldn't sleep anyway. So you could when you're tired, you could sleep through everything. But then at 4 a.m., I didn't hear a truck. I started to hear this click, clock, click, clock, click, clock, click, clock, click, clock. You know what that means? It may not be, the sound may not be right. This is horses and buggies coming at 4 a.m. I'm like, what kind of people are they? Don't they have any parents or places to go to? Or sleep at night? But I realized that I was right in the middle, put God purposes to be right in that land, to learn about the people, and very fact, this arm called the people called the Amish. And, you know, their life interests me. They worked hard. They ate well. They have community. And yet they didn't really mix with the outside world. And they call us the English people. I'm no English people. All right? And they didn't use electricities. They didn't use modern material comforts that they had, because they want to use their lives as a light in this world, to be an example, to be role models of community, God's faithful community. And I go, man, you could use electricity to read the Bibles, can you not? And I was just forming all these thoughts. But and yet they lived their life all of these years to do just this, to be God people, God's people, to remain faithful to God in the best way they know how. Then the test came to this community in October 2006 in Nickel Mines, Pennsylvania. Did you hear about that? There was a lone gunman went into the Amish school, one-room school, and tragically killed 10 Amish schoolgirls. You know why he did that? He said he was mad at God. The gunman was mad at God for taking his own daughter. So he decided to take 10 schoolgirls' lives. The story didn't end there. This is our days, folks. This is 2006. Not in the Old Testament, not even in the New Testament. 2006 in the United States. The story went something like this. The very family of the man was doing the funeral for the husband and the father, the gunman. And the Amish families who lost their children went to the funeral service of the man who killed their daughters. And it didn't end there either. They offer words of forgiveness, restoration, mercy to the widow and her family of the man who killed their children. It didn't end there either. What else did they do? They supported a fund. This Amish community collected money to help the family, the widow and her children, the people, the person who done them wrong. Now, I'm not promoting at all that we take that example, that's model to every situation of life. And whenever we want to practice forgiveness, an act of reconciliations, but we can definitely take the faith and the practice of this community in which where they find their strength, their hope, and they attribute nothing. They give glory to their action, nothing and no one but Jesus Christ. They said, the Lord Jesus Christ have forgiven us. Therefore, we also give to forgive, ought to forgive one another. And they said, this is our way of life. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine forgiving someone who hurt your loved ones? Can you imagine going to that distance and saying, God, bless my enemies. Bless those who done me wrong. Prosper them. Can you imagine doing that? That's the very fact our Lord Jesus is asking us to do. Matthew chapter 5, verses 44 to 45. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons and daughters of your Father in heaven. Wow. Loving our enemies and praying for the prosperity of the one who hurt us. Why would Jesus talk like that? Why would Jesus say those kind of things? For he knows. It is possible, not with our own strength, not with our own devices or strategy, but looking to him as the author and perfecter of our faith, the one who did it all for us on the cross, when he was hanging on the cross. You know, I would want to hear his last word would have been like, God, just take them all out. Or maybe he would be a nicer Christ and would say, I forgive you all. But you know what Jesus did on the cross? As they put nails on his hands and his feet and his pierced his side. And what did Jesus say? Father, God, forgive them. Forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Not only Jesus Christ was willing to forgive us, but he was willing to go farther and say, God, forgive them and bless them. Jesus and forgiveness always go together, hand in hand. Christians and forgiveness must always go together. This is not a separate issue. This is not emotional issues. This is an act of will that God is asking us to do. Jesus always forgives. Smile. Jesus always loves you. Amen? Amen. And smile. Jesus always loves the person we detest, don't like the most. Wow. With a God like that, we can make it. With a God like that, we can do it. A very famous minister way back by the name of Donald Barnhouse He went through several trials in his church. And so he couldn't stand it anymore, so he went to another minister and complained. You know, can you think of that pastor complaining about ministry? I can't think about that. But Donald Barnhouse went to his friend and tell all about what the church did to him. And his friend listened compassionately and asked these questions. And he said, Donald, have they put nails on your hands? He said, no. Have they put nails on your feet? He said, no. Have they poked your side? Pierce on your side? No. No, they didn't. And his friend said, then forgive. And he said, well, what happened if they do? He said, well, what did Jesus do? What did Jesus say? Father, forgive them. The power of forgiveness that is for us is given by the Holy Spirit when we receive Christ. We've been given to us that we can also forgive. Doing all greatness of miraculous powers and healing and restoring lives as Christ did. The Holy Spirit is given to us, but it also given to us so that we can forgive others in Jesus' name. And when we do that, God will be glorified, that lives will be changed for the better, and that you and I would always have a right relationship with God. Now, so when we pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, does that mean that before saying that prayer on Sunday morning, that we ought to get out and apologize and ask for forgiveness to the people and circumstance situation and make it all right before saying that prayer? No. You know why we don't have to do that? Because Christ on the cross washed all away of your sins, my sins of the past and present and future, once and for all. But asking God to forgive us as we are willing to forgive those who sins against us put us in the right place with God to say, God, I have been loved much. I have been forgiven much. Therefore, I want your love. I want your peace. I want your joy as I share that love, peace, and joy with others. Giving, let God be God. We're not in a place of God. Don't hold revenge, vengeance, bitterness, rage, or anger. Let it go. And let God be in charge of your life. And trust Him. Trust Him that He will get you through all these things. No matter not how big, how awful, how difficult the situation is, that what others intended for harm or evil, God will always, always make it right. Checks his records. Check God's track records. Always right, always perfect. For God forgives. Thanks be to God. Amen. In order to receive that forgiveness, men and women, we need to come to Christ. Acknowledge Him as our Lord and Savior, our God, and give our life to Him that we may, you and I may be forgiven. And if you haven't turned your life to Christ, may this be the day that you do. Would you please pray with me? Lord, we believe in your good news. In Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. And with that forgiveness and unending mercy, we come to you and say this prayer for those who may not have turned their lives in your hands. So we pray now. Dear God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge to you that I am a sinner and I'm sorry for my sins. I need your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ shed his precious blood on the cross and died for my sins. And I'm no I'm now willing to turn from my past, from my sin. I confess Jesus as the Lord of my life and my soul. With my heart, I believe that God raised him from the dead. At this moment, I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and giving me eternal life. Amen.